Welcome to our next podcast, focusing on great customer service with Caroline Casalifara, Director of Operational Performance at Oakley Housing in Dublin. It's great to be speaking with you, Caroline.
Thanks, Denise, so much, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We've had a number of conversations about customer service, and our discussions have really focused on the importance of putting ourselves in the shoes of the customers. So what does that mean to you, Caroline, and why do you think that this is important?
I think it's not just important, Denise, it's really central to understand things from a customer's point of view. You know, I suppose I'll tell you a little bit about my journey in this. I learned from a young age. I grew up in a home where my father ran his own small successful business for over 35 years, and watching him, observing him, you know, building relationships with customers, meaningful ones, getting to know what they wanted, how we could provide it. So that all kind of resonated with me, and you pick up on these things.
Yeah.
And before I moved into the charity or the housing sector, I spent 17 years myself working in three retail organisations, well known in Ireland. And in this commercial sector, customer service training and customer service mindset was central to everything. It was always moving, you know, really fast paced, lots of innovations going on. So from all of that, I suppose, and they were my journey, I learned that you can't provide any meaningful service if you don't know your customers, if you haven't identified who your customer is. So for me, putting ourselves in the shoes of our customers, seeing it through their eyes, asking what are their needs, what are their expectations, their experiences, their challenges, what's their demographic, how would you feel if you're in their situation, what would you do? So it's outward thinking, and you have to do it because when you're providing a service, what they actually want matters, and identifying that matters, you know. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So when you see this and when you build this, you can kind of build a customer-centric framework, Denise. You can work out, you know, what are we doing? What should we be doing? What's the gaps? What's the patterns? What's the trends that are emerging? And then what should we start doing? So when you put all of that together, seeing things through the eyes of the customer, walking in their shoes, it really helps you to build that framework and that platform for being able to provide good customer service.
Yeah, sure. That's really interesting and lovely to hear a bit about your your history and how you got to this point as well. So as leaders at Oakley, how do you feel that you can really sort of use that you refer to it as a framework, how you can really sort of build an organisational culture around that based on putting yourselves in the shoes of the customer?
My experience that customer service culture has to be throughout the organisation, like the heartbeat of the organisation when you're providing a service to people. So it's not just left to one particular department, like a service centre or a housing services department in our case. And in order to build an organisation culture based on putting yourselves in the shoes of the customer, everyone is on board. Because the customer service culture shapes the attitude of the organisation. It drives decisions, it drives strategy, it drives outcomes. So I suppose the first thing is, as leaders, we need to ensure that it's ingrained within the mission. It's ingrained within our strategy and our values in an organisation. For example, you know, in Oakley, and one of the things that actually drew me to Oakley Housing, that part of the mission was to build strong houses with a social, I suppose, purpose and be a provider of customer-focused housing. And within this, you need the support which we have of our CEO, and you need that to be driven through the SMT and the CEO and all of the team. I suppose part of our values in our strategic plan is that being customer-centric, that means putting the customers at the heart of what we do. There's an important focus on the people we house. There's an important focus on the people that work for us. And between both of them, you know, they will say what customer service means to them.
Yeah.
So when you have it in your missions and your values, people know before they even start working with you. what the principle and values are, that being customer centric is part of it. So that's the first thing I would suggest is having it as part of the mission and the strategy and the values. Secondly, we need to ensure we hire the right people who are aligned with our values and with our principles, and they will help us continue to build that organizational culture, you know, based on the customer. Thirdly, when you've done the hiring, there's also the onboarding. So you've got the induction, the training and development. And one of, I think, the important things with induction is that when people start in an organization, Denise, that they get to experience different departments and they get to experience, you know, what other departments are doing to drive customer service. You know, we have someone recently start with us in IT, and he's spending time in every department. So he was sitting with facilities last week, sitting with housing services, you know, so he gets to see the kind of the holistic picture. This is what they're doing in each department. I'm not just here on my own. We're all together, you know, working towards this service, working towards providing these services to our tenants. So that's really important, to offer that training and development, ensuring that the teams feel respected and valued, ensuring that we trust our teams, because all of this sets the tone and it puts the proper supports in place for us to build and to maintain an organisational culture of customer service. The fourth thing I think would be, you know, we have it in our mission and we have it in our strategy. We have the right people hired. We support them. But we have to commit to financial resources for this in our budgets, because it just doesn't come out of the sky. And I think as an organisation and as leaders, we have to commit to properly resourcing this in our organisational budgets for the hiring, training, the engagement, the technological supports and the innovations. So That's something we just have to put in place, and we have to show our teams we are supporting this, we're taking it seriously, and we have it in place. And finally, we have to be accountable as leaders and as organisations. You know, once we've identified what our customer wants, we have the teams in place, we have the budgets, we have to set targets. We have to build quality assurance processes, complaints processes. You know, we have to measure and we have to benchmark and report and how we are achieving, how we are getting on. And if we're not achieving and if it's not going well, what do we hope to do about it as an organization? You know, how do we go about it together?
Now, this, do you know, there's some really excellent points that you've made in there that I think, you know, one of the key things that resonated with me was when you were talking about the induction side of things and, you know, the fact that people get this view of the whole organisation. And I personally think that that's something that's not always done. It's quite often not done to the extent that you were just talking about it there. But it's really, really important for people, isn't it, to understand where they fit in to the organisation in terms of providing service.
It was something that they had. It was one of the retail organisations I'd worked for, and they had kind of really prized themselves on customer service, and there was books written about them and everything. But that was one of the things that would have happened. You worked in each department as part of your deduction, and I thought your induction, I thought it was really useful. And not only that, at the Christmas time when you thought you were sitting in head office and you didn't have much to do, well, you were wrong. You were thrown out and you found you were working on the checkouts. Which was insightful as well. Yeah, that's excellent. Good training on the ground.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, that's all really good stuff. But what do you find are the barriers to this then in organisations, and how can you overcome some of these?
I think, well, one of the first barriers I'll talk about is, and I did mention earlier, is that you have to have everybody on board. You know, the CEO, the senior management team, you know, the development, IT departments, you have to have the tenants on board. You know, everyone has to collaborate and share in this customer-centric model. You have to build relationships with stakeholders, local authorities, developers, other approved housing bodies and review your business-to-business relationships with contractors, consultants. So there's a lot to juggle and there's a lot of people involved. And one of the barriers for me, in my experience, is that when you don't have everybody on board, you know, when you have a culture of people working in silos, because you can't have a culture of customer service if it's just left to a few. From my point of view, and I think for leadership, it needs to be a collective attitude, the board supporting it, the CEO, the HR, all of those, you know, different entities working together towards the, you know, their own objective, or to the collective objective and not their own objective. So for me, that's one of the barriers to overcome. This is just involving people, involving everyone in the strategy, the policies, collaborating with your tenants, with your team, with all your stakeholders, so that everyone feeds into the customer centric experience, you know. And another thing to offset a barrier to this is just, again, training, development and induction. Another barrier, Denise, I see is we have to be, I suppose, I believe, careful about our use of language and how we communicate. In different, in our industry, you know, we can have so much jargon. We've so many abbreviations.
Oh, yes.
You know, you'd hear we're turning X number of units around and, you know, all of that. And I would question, you know, are we providing people with homes? Or are we turning X number of units around? So I think that's just a small example, but we have to be mindful about how we communicate internally within our organisations and externally, and question, does it reflect an attitude or a culture of customer service in how we're talking?
That's an excellent point. A really, really good point. I love the social housing sector, but oh my goodness, the jargon.
You need a book. There is so much. And look, at every industry, you know, it's not just to the housing sector. It was no different in other industries I've worked in. But we just have to be careful of that. Another one is for me, a barrier is to, we have to keep, if we don't keep up with the changing landscape, that can be difficult. You know, digital transformation and what our tenants experience has changed so much and is continuously evolving. And we've all learned so much and we've had to adapt so quickly after COVID had happened. Now people can just log on to sites and get real-time interaction and real-time, you know, resolution to services that they're looking for. So I think we just have to be aware of that and keep up with those trends and watch them and see what's happening in those innovations and look at expanding our customer service offering by providing or offering some self-service digital models. This also supports the staff, it supports the team, and it increases customer satisfaction. But I always say when I'm talking or hear people even talking about digital transformation is that we don't fall into the trap of becoming a company that's inaccessible, that is just press one, press two. It's I'll never get to talk to somebody because I've too many blocks in my way. So it's really like an add-on, because we still have to build trusting relationships and meaningful ones with our tenants. Finally, just another barrier that we just have to watch for me is managing expectations. Building a, I suppose, a culture of customer service, it takes time and commitment. And you can't build this culture on the specifics of an individual customer requirement or individual interaction. And you can't meet everybody's demands. You can't meet what everybody wants. So I would often say that to my team. We can't solve everything and be everything for everybody. Yeah. We have to manage expectations. And as leaders, we have to ensure that we don't overpromise and not deliver. Because this will impact our service. This will impact the trust we've built up with our stakeholders, our tenants and our teams. So we just need to manage this. And we set realistic targets. We've honest communication. We let people know we can commit to what we can't and why and when we hope to get to that place. So it's just about having those authentic relationships with our staff and our tenants in managing those expectations.
Yeah, no, excellent. And I think it is that that authenticity, isn't it?
It is,
you know, you you have these open and honest and, you know, grown up conversations, if you like, with, yeah. with people that, as you say, you as organizations, you can't meet every individual need. But I think if people understand where you're coming from and understand what, you know, what your intention is, what you can do, what you can't do, then that's the key to, to working and really putting the customers at the heart of an organisation, and to go back to where we came in, walking in customers' shoes. Because at the end of the day, we're all customers, aren't we?
We are all customers, and we all, you know what it's like to get good customer service and to get not so good, and when there's delays or lack of, you know, interest in the queries or the requests that you put in. So we've all experienced what it's like to be a customer. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, thank you very much, Caroline. That's been really, really interesting. And hopefully has sparked some thinking. And thanks all for listening, and look out for our next distinctive podcast coming soon. Goodbye.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.